Folks, you are about to hear a special We Got This with Mark and Hal, recorded live over Zoom, broadcast to YouTube, live for people of the world to watch and enjoy. If you didn't get a chance to see it, you get a chance to hear it. And the audio will be weird because we pulled it directly from the video. We have since done them subsequently, and we're figuring out the recording process, but we think we have it perfected, which is why this Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, we are going live again, a clean slate, topics provided by you. We have not seen them before. Our producer, Ken Plume, will be on with us, reading us these topics for the very first time. We really enjoy doing these, and we think that you've had fun watching them. So now we know ahead of time, you can go to YouTube to our channel. Make sure you are ready when we go live. Go to youtube.com/WeGotThisPodcast. You can subscribe there, sign up for notifications so that you never miss another live stream again. And you maybe can watch some of our old ones there. Who knows what we're going to post there? Who knows? Who knows? The future is unknowable, except for the fact that we will be live this Friday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific time, doing a clean slate just for you from our homes. Stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy this episode of We Got This with Mark and Hal. Hello, I'm Hal Lublin.
And I'm Mark Gagliardi.
Since the dawn of humanity, one issue has gone unsettled. With the fate of the world in the balance, we're here to settle once and for all.
Live.
That's right. Don't worry, everyone. We got this.
Podcasts should have a theme song.
Podcasts should not have a theme song.
Yes, they should.
No, they shouldn't.
They sound good.
Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right. We got this.
This already feels like a big mistake. Preparing to live stream the meeting. It's preparing. It says it's preparing.
If you mine see says meeting is now streaming live.
Look, I trust you. How is your internet telling you we're streaming and we haven't even started yet?
Mine is too.
Whatever, both of you. I can't deal with it. We are. Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah, it started with you saying that we were streaming, by the way.
Yeah. Oh,
just in case you're wondering.
So why don't you two do the introduction while I stream it out? Because it doesn't matter. Or just do some small talk. Catch up for a second. I'm going to stream it out. All these are clean slate topics, so it's not heavy preparation. Right. It's going to be fun. All
this right, is not your show, Ken. We can do the show.
Ken,
we're doing the show.
We got this.
Oh, that's a good
name
for the show.
I can't believe I actually just used that in earnest.
Did you really? I thought you were doing a
thing. No, I really was not doing a bit. I honestly just used the phrase, we got this, in earnest. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Did you grow your beard back?
It's just kind of been happening, but I've been doing sort of the semi, like where it's the line here and then like faking a jawline.
Yeah, you're shaping it. You have a jawline.
I figure it's white, so like it's going to highlight. So I'll highlight the jawline with it.
It'll turn, you're flocking your face.
I'm using this much like we would use paint in our college makeup class. If you wanted to make a part of your face stand out more than another, you would highlight it and. We did all kinds of contouring. We even did impressions once. We all had to do a famous historical figure. And so we had to make ourselves, just with paint, look as much like that figure as we could.
And what was yours, Mona Lisa?
Saddam Hussein.
No, why? Did your teacher make you do that? Did you draw a name out of a hat? Did you volunteer?
It seemed like the easiest one. Because I was like, I guess he has brown hair and brown eyebrows. My final exam, I was very excited about.
Hold on. Your way of like getting an easy A. I know it'll get me through this. I'll just look like Saddam Hussein.
Isn't that the way that everything works though?
Yeah, like, you make yourself look like Saddam Hussein.
You know what's gonna get me through this whole quarantine? I'm just gonna make myself look like Saddam Hussein.
Nobody will mess with me. I'll 6 feet, forget it, 60 feet when I go to the store. They clear the whole thing out for me.
That's right. Plus, I have doubles everywhere, so I send them all out, and they go to Trader Joe's to get the stuff that they don't have at Ralph's.
Meanwhile, you're in a hole next to Vons.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knew. So, wait, what was your final that you were so excited about?
My final was
Pol Pot.
No. My final was I decorated my – I did like a structured thing to look like an alien. Well, first – I did my whole face in latex. Then I painted just like a regular makeup on the latex. Then I peeled the latex off, so I had a Mark mask. Then I did this like structured alien thing. Then I glued the other piece back onto my face, and my character was an alien disguising himself as Mark Gagliardi. That was my final.
And you walked in, the teacher was like, you can't do Saddam Hussein again, Mark.
Yeah, you've done it three times. I said to do a character from a play. Saddam Hussein is not a character in any play.
One of the times I was just out at dinner and I saw you. Why did you do that?
What? I wanted to show you that I was learning. Aren't you a teacher? Isn't learning important?
Where did you get the beret? It was perfect.
Ask where I got the patches. That was harder to come by.
From my uncle?
Yeah. From a friend. We are, if anyone is watching, I don't know. I know we're on YouTube. But if anyone has topics for us for our clean slate episode we are doing tonight, Ken Plume, our producer, is with us as well and has our first topic for us. Ken, what do we have?
Well, the first topic for this clean slate episode, it is submitted from Twitter from handle Batgirl. And it is taste great or less filling.
I literally cannot hear you because there's so much stuff behind you. And I'm sitting there going, there's Doctor Strange. There's Gonzo. There's an R2-D2 from Galaxy's Edge. There are some. Who's wearing the hat? Who's like that with the hat on?
Except it,
right there.
Yeah, right there.
That is a turtle puppet named Tibby, based on an old zine that I used to do. And he's wearing the same type of hat that Short Round wore in Temple of Doom.
Tastes great or less filling?
Hey, he started it.
Hal, you're not a beer drinker.
No.
But I am. And so I guess we can take this outside of the realm of beer specifically, because it is, of course, the old tagline from the 70s for, I guess it was Miller Lite.
It was Miller Lite.
It was just called Lite back then, L-I-T-E. Mm-hmm. And it was their tagline, tastes great or less filling. Which of those, I guess we are asking, like, in the void, which of them is what, more important?
Yeah. Well, I think it also applies to some food, like if you're eating diet food. Sometimes you're trying to eat bulk, so you don't want it to be as filling. Sometimes you want the taste, even if it's a smaller amount. So I think it applies to that as well. I mean, it's light beer. It's essentially like they got away with not calling it diet beer. It's diet beer. So there's diet beer, diet food. It's the same argument, right?
That's fair.
I think I know what your answer is. Do you think you know what mine is?
Yes. Well, I think generally when it comes to food, you and I enjoy a lot of the same things.
We do.
But you go hard when you go.
Look, I'm not messing around over here.
No, I get it. You go hard. So I'm going to say that less filling is more important to you.
I'm sorry. Can you hear Jennifer getting snacks?
Perfect timing.
And the ice maker's going off in the fridge.
It sounded like she picked up one of those cellophane things that you put cupcakes in and just squeezed it to see what it would do.
There are so many distractions between the menagerie of collectibles behind Ken and my wife, who I love so much, coming out here to grab fruit snacks, which was under like three bags of chips, which was like next to a bunch of dominoes that made a cuckoo clock go.
You have a Rube Goldberg kitchen.
Well, yeah, he designed our kitchen back in 1921. But now, what did you say? Did you say I like tastes great or less filling?
I think that you would say less filling.
Interesting. For you, I think that you are someone who likes to enjoy life. You want to like sort of grab life by the short hairs and enjoy it. So I think to you, for something to taste great, is better than it being less like how filling it is a consideration. I know that that you are someone who watches your health and wants to maintain your physique. And now you're on television. It's even more important. But I think it is weird
having to stay exactly the same size that I was when I got hired.
Is it like a housewife in the '50s where you have to measure yourself every day? But yeah. Okay. I think that for you in the larger scheme of things that tastes great is more important.
I think that tastes great definitely is more important. And I think for diet purposes as well, taste great is more important. Because for me, if I am trying to watch what I eat in a specific way, and I think, okay, I can have as much as I want of this salad.
Yeah.
The only thing I want is one bite of a Fig Newton. You know what I mean? I just want, yes. And like one bite, a single Fig Newton will sate my appetite more than an entire salad, because I can eat a punch bowl of salad and I'll still be thinking about that Fig Newton.
Yeah. Look, Mark, this may surprise you. It looks like one of us knows the other one better. I would rather something taste great too, especially the diet food. Like all of it is yeah. Like I want to be filled. I want it to be more filling. I want it to taste good and fill me up. But yeah, like it's not like, look, if you're talking about ice cream sundaes, I wish they were less filling so I could eat more of them. But that's just proof even more that I love something that tastes great. So right. It is taste great. That's more important than less filling. The less filling, they're just trying to like get you to buy it. The taste great is what really is going to hook you in. That's
I didn't mean to. Now I feel like I feel like better than I know you, and it bothers.
No, me. I mean it's true, but it's fine. Just a little bit better.
How dare you? Did you just hear?
And what's up next?
So your definitive conclusion on that is
yes, asked and answered. It's yes, great.
Yeah. Yeah. We said asked and answered.
Facebook group from a question from Kama Lord. Which is shower beer or shower pie? What do you prefer to have in the shower?
Oh.
Kama's clearly obsessed.
I know that you've – this for anyone that missed this episode, a long time ago we had a conversation about how I enjoy a beer in the shower or have in the past enjoyed a beer in the shower. It's not like a regular thing. But when I was in college, I would – after a particularly long rollerblade, I would – shut up, Hal. I would have a beer in the shower, crack open an ice cold beer, let that hot water pour over your neck, pour that beer down your throat. Woo, that is fantastic. To which Howell admitted
that I had a pie in the shower, but I like the image of yours better because you're like, well, I just experienced the mid-90s. I guess I should take a shower and have a drink. I got to go hit the showers.
Yeah.
Yours is like born. I mean, look, the shower beer is a much cooler move. It's like, hey, I'm hot. I'm going to shower off. I've been out there rollerblading while listening to Chumbawamba. I'm going to have a nice cold beer. And then I, in a moment of shame, not only had a pie for breakfast, but thought that the most economical way to eat it so that there would be no, like, you know the thing, like where you're trying to solve a mystery. Somebody's dead, and there's a pool of water, or there's no bullet. It's because the bullet was made of ice, so there's no evidence. I was trying to have no evidence that I had eaten a pie at 7:30 in the morning in New Zealand. And
this was on our trip. I was there.
Yes, you were there, and I ate it. I told this story before, but just
look, we've done 270 episodes. I forget things.
I get up very early. Jennifer does not rise as early as I do. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, sometimes I will be hungry for breakfast long before she is ready to eat. Mm-hmm. And I was very hungry. And the only food we had in the room, but I was going to wait for her. I didn't want to have a New Zealand breakfast without her. I had the pie that we had bought in the Cuba Street Market the night before. And I hadn't eaten it then for whatever. Who even knows? Oh, I think I had one that night, and then I got another one.
This is a pie
put it
in the
fridge.
British sense, right? Like,
it's a small apple pie.
Yeah, like a self-contained, wrapped in dough entirely.
No, yes, it is like a pie that you baked, but a smaller version of it.
Oh, it's not like a hot pocket kind of pie,
No, it was like a
sitting on a windowsill for a tiny hobo.
Yes, it is a miniature. It's an apple pie. It's a miniature version.
Was
of
that
an
baby
apple
gummy?
It was baby gummy. That's what he said.
Baby gummy.
Baby gummy. That's what the apple pie looked like. And I was so hungry, and I ate it. And I was sitting in the bathroom, in my underwear, and I was like, "Well, look, if I'm going to eat it, I'm going to get crumbs everywhere. What is the one place I can eat it that will be the quietest?" I took it in. All right. I never said this before. I think I took it to the bathroom so I could eat it undetected because I didn't want to make noise. And then I got in the shower. I was like, oh, this is next level. Brilliant. Cause I'll eat it away from the water. I'll get hot water on my waist and my underwaist. And then all the crumbs will be washed away. The water will wash my sins away. So somewhere in New Zealand, in a landfill, or hopefully it was recycled, but it might be the landfill, is a pie tin that was claimed from a bathroom trash can. And probably not the weirdest thing they'd ever seen, but I'm sure they had to think about it.
What's this pie tin? These pie tins here in this trash can? Why is that? Sweet is free pie tin.
Anyway.
Shower beer is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably slightly more popular.
Yeah, I think that's the one. I don't want to turn a moment of shame into a victory. I think it should sit in the annals of disgrace. Thank you. That's shower beer asked or answered. It was done. Yeah. One of the asked and answered it. Fine.
Okay.
Is anybody watching this, Ken? Are you watching the YouTube stream?
Yes, there are people watching it and enjoying it right now. So hi to everyone who is watching.
Hello to all of you watching from 20 seconds in the past.
Hi, everyone.
From Jordana Kane.
Hi, Jordana.
Fizzy water or still water?
Oh, yeah. Fizzy water. But I know Hal doesn't like the bubbles.
Why do you like fizzy water? Because the bubbles?
Because the bubbles. Because it's better than regular water. I specifically got a SodaStream to make water better.
But you like to do the fruit where it's like a peach farted in the bottle and now it's this fizzy water has gone next level. That's what you
Right? I usually I like my straight just soda water. Every once in a while I will hit it with a whisper of an essential oil, one drop of lemongrass.
You're hearing yourself.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm hearing myself. But
I'll give it
soda water, man. It's so much more fun. It's so much more exciting. Like I drink 10 times the water that I used to drink.
I would rather. I want to see you get on a plane and instead of having a small bottle of Jack Daniels to have a tea tree oil that you drink. I don't want to whisper. I want it to yell in my mouth. Give it to me. Let me have it.
Oh my God. Though I will say this, this question simply as asked was fizzy water or still water. There was no express mention of drinking.
No flavors mentioned either.
True.
Well, no flavoring.
Right. But specific to I'm not talking about drinking it. I'm talking, hold on. Let me think. Ken threw me off.
Ken.
We didn't mention drinking it. So there is a lot of water in the world. The vast majority of the water in the world is not fizzy water. It is ocean water, which if the oceans were carbonated, that would probably not be great for a lot of fish. So if we're not specifically talking about drinking, if the question was, is it better to drink fizzy water or flat water? I'm going to say fizzy water. But if we're not talking specifically about drinking it, I'd say still water is probably the globally more important.
We've done this show for 5+ years, and I swear I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
What?
You took it in such an odd direction.
Well, look, because fizzy water – here's why I did. Because I needed to acquiesce, because I know you will never admit that fizzy water is better.
I'm just look. I want to talk through it.
40 minutes on fizzy water.
I'm not going to like sit here and lecture you. Look, I don't like it. I also the reason why I like still water outside of not liking fizziness is I feel like I'm always keeping hydrated. It's better for my voice to have like room temperature water.
Mm-hmm.
It just I have it all the time. I think if I liked carbonation, I don't know that I would have. I don't know the extent to which I would have fizzy water, but. It's not Jennifer likes soda a lot and she like goes through stints where she likes it. But by and large, it's flat water. Like I'm not the person who's like, you shall not bring that in here. This is a still water household. Yeah. We had a soda stream for a while and it was fun to press the buttons and feel like I was the one who was going to press it too many times. And it was
just going to explode.
Yeah. It goes. And then I think it's going to explode every time.
And then when it starts to get too full, it goes. When it gets to that is when you got to cut off. It's like playing blackjack.
Look, is it really important to you that it be fizzy water? Is that what this is?
No, I think though, the distinction, if we're not specifically talking about drinking water, and we are talking about water in general, I think the vast majority of the water in the world, importantly so, is not carbonated.
Sure, I'll take it. It's still water asked and answered.
Ken, what's next? I want to hear Mark's TED talk about water in the future. Note from the Facebook group, George Zephyr O'Malley would like me to pass along to Hal that his Kiwi accent needs a lot of work.
Sweet is. Sheila Pie? Oh, look at Sheila Pie.
No, and going no. Here.
Hey, would you like a pie there, mate?
Oh, there it is.
Yamar. Welcome to New Zealand.
Hi, I'm from down Wellington way. We sure do like it down here.
I'm going to cut this off before it gets awkward. We're going to, speaking of a reference that Hal made in his answer to the last topic, EJ Salazar from the Facebook group asks, Sir Patrick Stewart or Sir Ian McKellen?
Oh, wow.
That's tough. Both masters of the stage.
Yes.
We've seen them both. How do we judge this? Like,
they're inextricably linked to one another, obviously, from playing Magneto and Professor X for
Magneto and Professor X
20 years.
Exactly. And then also from being colleagues in Britain before that.
Yes.
Famously of the RSC back when, I don't know if it was a wig or not, but when Patrick Stewart had curly hair in the.
No, that was his hair.
Was that his hair?
Did you watch those tapes in high school? Because we did.
No.
It was weird because at the time he was Captain Picard. Or had been Captain Picard. That was what we all knew him for. And then all of a sudden he's showing up in these RSC tapes with like a sweater that has a button down shirt underneath. And he's like, let me tell you how to really get into.
I've not
like,
seen
he's talking to these kids.
I've seen just the actual Shakespeare performances.
No, they're like teaching tools that like where he's talking about how to break down the text and how to deliver things. And it's amazing that he's there. David Suchet, who was an RSC member. Mm-hmm. He's there as well.
Suchet sounds like a verb in a cookbook.
Yeah, I have to suchet these eggs for 20 minutes. And then I add in the fizzy water with peach farts in it.
Yeah, ooh, peach fart water. It's just a hint of lemongrass and one shower.
Just a hint. I mean, do you go by how iconic their roles are? I think if you go – even that's hard because you have Captain Picard, but you also have Gandalf. Mm-hmm. You have Professor X, and then you have Magneto.
And they're, I would say versatility, but they're, and I don't mean this as a slight to them in any way. Those guys are not chameleons.
Right.
They are all exceptionally dignified British gentlemen, at least nowadays.
I'll tell you what I think, because we could go on and on about this, but only one of them played the poop emoji in the Emoji Movie, and that was Sir Patrick Stewart. Which is I think a negative to him, and I would give it to Sir Ian McKellen for that reason.
Though Sir Patrick Stewart has redeemed himself in that, have you seen what he's doing during the quarantine? He is performing daily on Instagram every one of Shakespeare's sonnets in order.
Is that the public service for? Is that the public service sentence for doing that emoji movie?
Yeah, that's his public service that he was forced to do by the judge.
I think it's still Ian McKellen.
Interesting.
He didn't do the emoji. I'm sure they both have embarrassing stuff in there.
Yeah, you know, I think actors. I think the emoji movie, like if they are so evenly matched, the poop in the emoji movie edges it toward Ian McKellen.
Yeah. And look, that's no flack on either of them. British actors famously and correctly take whatever work. They're like, hey, it's a paycheck. Michael Caine couldn't accept his Oscar because he was making Jaws 4. He's like, that paid for my house. Like, he didn't. Yeah. It's not. Whatever, Ken. Shut up. Shut your face up.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95! We did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion?
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan-Michael Key to talk about high school, the good the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
Judge John Hodgman won a Webby in the comedy podcast category. After 10 years of production, Judge John Hodgman has finally won the Susan Lucci of the Webbies. What is Judge John Hodgman?
Comedy writer and television personality John Hodgman settles disputes between friends, family, co-workers, partners, and more.
Is Machine Gun a robot?
Should a grown adult tell his parents about his tattoos?
Should a family be compelled to wear matching outfits on vacation?
Listen to Judge John Hodgman to find out the answers to these age-old disputes and more.
If you haven't listened to Judge John Hodgman, now is a great time to start.
Judge John Hodgman is available on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, what's next?
Next up, we're going to take a topic from Facebook. Samantha Schmidt asks, gift bag or wrapping paper?
Tough. Wrapping paper shows, I think, more elegance and more of an effort.
But a gift bag is what? What's the plus of a gift bag for you?
That it is super convenient on the go. If you are like, I'm going to a party, I'm stopping and getting a gift, I'm running into Walgreens to grab a gift bag, and I'm out the door. And now, at least at my local, they've started like already having the gift bags pre-stuffed with the tissue paper. So you don't wind up with a back seat that has a brand new pair of scissors, a brand new roll of tape, you know, and all of the tissue. But there's something kind of wonderful, I think, about a wrapped gift.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think that certainly for giving gifts, I prefer a bag just because it's easier. And sometimes it's fun to play the game of, you don't know what is in it. And you can put for Valentine's Day, I gave Jennifer a bag that had, I think, like 5 different things in it. Mm. So it was the joy of her discovering each thing.
Now, did you wrap each individual thing within the bag?
Yes. It was wrapped it was like covered in tissue paper, including a gigantic thing that was almost impossible to cover with everything.
That was like a new skateboard.
It was her new skateboard. It was her pair of rollerblades. She's a time traveler.
I like the idea that if it were wrapping paper, you would know they were rollerblades because it would be that perfect, like where it is the exact outline of the thing. It just looks like the thing has been shrink wrapped in colorful paper.
That's right.
That's one of those magical things in movies and cartoons and TV shows that I love where someone's getting a bicycle as a gift, but you can clearly tell that it's a bicycle. It's just that every individual piece has been wrapped.
Yeah.
That always makes me smile. But yeah, I say as a gift giver, I don't know. I've got a little bit of persnickety wrapping gifts. Like I take pride in the technique that my mom taught me. So like, it's always like a little like, mom would be proud sort of, you know.
Well, you're good at it. I'm terrible at it. And I've tried to learn, but generally somebody has to do like 75. They're like, all right, my job is like, put your finger there and make the tape go. Good job. Now the other one. You bring that finger back and do it again. But I love
Do they clap for you when you do it?
Yeah. They go, good job, Al. You did it. Good job. You're a good boy. When I'm receiving a gift, it is fun to get something wrapped. It's fun to like tear the paper away.
Mm-hmm. Are you a tearer or a take apart?
I'm a tearer. I like to tear it. It's like, that's what it's there for. It's I'm fun. Not going to save fun, it. Yeah. If you think about it, if you save it, you have to get something that is the exact same size or smaller to give
or
it
or just
again.
Re-gift that thing. So like you keep it in exactly the same crease pattern. Then you're like, this is great. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cherish it forever. And give it to the next person.
Yeah. I think the art of wrapping a gift, which should never be lost, and the joy of opening a wrapped gift make wrapping gifts the better choice. Yeah. So I would go with that, even though something wrong with a gift bag. I do it. Jennifer does
it. I do it all
the
time, yeah.
Gift bag, it's still gift great bag to do.
Preferred version, I think.
Yes, yeah.
It's the difference between a restaurant meal and a fast food meal.
Yes, 100%. Are we saying the fast food in this case is the wrapping because it's so good all the time?
I think I hear you both are going with wrapped gift. Am I hearing
back
that right?
Back in the day? Yes. Back in the day, though, I used to go back in the day, like a couple, like before I started this diet, like I would be heading home and I'd be talking to Ken on the phone. I was like, all right, well, I got to go. And I would go into the McDonald's, the local McDonald's, and get like a double quarter pounder and fries and a drink. And then I would sit there in the small McDonald's, like me and the drifters who came in to just sit there and be inside for a second and are like eating their food too. And that was like one of my favorite and most self-hated meals.
This episode has been about weird self-hated meals from Hal Loveland.
Yeah.
What's on your t-shirt?
Aren't they all?
Wait.
Aren't they all?
Can I see what's on your t-shirt? Tights and Fights. I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You come on We Got This with Mark and Hal.
Yeah.
And you wear a t-shirt that advertises your other podcast.
I don't know what I was thinking, Mark. I don't know what I was thinking. I just thought I'd wear any old shirt. This shirt's so comfortable.
Can I talk to you under the video for a second?
Let me talk to you
on here for a second.
Hal, what are you doing, man? This is our show.
My mic's up here. I have to come back up to talk.
Oh, yeah, I have to do that too. Dang it.
Yeah, that was my bad.
Mark, you want I should take him out?
Nah, we're going to keep him.
Ah.
I was just imagining that you wrap gifts and they look like little candies all the time, right? Hal, do you just
when I wrap them, I do. I take the tissue paper edges of it. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I have done that before.
Ask me if I put tape on it.
Because you give it a bowling ball every time, right?
No, I don't put tape on it. No. Of course I don't. All right, we got time for one more.
Great.
One more.
So I think.
Right? How long have we been live? How long has this been going?
I'm going to give you an artsy one from our Facebook group from Avery Krause.
Hi, Avery.
Which I think you can chew on this for the remainder of this episode.
Okay.
Orchestra or choir?
Are we talking about musically or are we talking about this?
What's your preference? I mean, this goes down to what if you had to choose
about
one
musically.
Yeah, I think it means musically.
Hal?
Yeah.
Do you have initial thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I have so much respect for musicians and singers both. And they both require an incredible amount of skill. To me, as somebody who grew up doing choral singing and barbershop singing and all that stuff. There's something I appreciate about the ability to create a full sound in different levels with no instruments at all. Because there's not that it's easier to play an instrument by any stretch of the imagination, but there is something, you do have help. You have the help of this instrument that you are manipulating to the best of your ability to create these sounds, as opposed to the only instrument you have is right here. And the air you can push out of it. So for me, that is something I prefer.
Right on. The thing that would lean me toward choir, the thing that I think choir has the benefit of is that anyone, I know you say it takes particular skill to do it well, but anyone can be a choir. Any group of people can sing at the top of their lungs. They're called carolers and we have them every year at the holidays. And there's something very liberating and free and egalitarian about a choir, that any group of people singing together can be a choir. The benefit of the orchestra, I think, is it is 1,000 times more spectacular to me. Maybe because I go to the Hollywood Bowl all the time and love going to the symphony shows there. Maybe it's because I just like orchestra music, and like if every movie you saw required doing it, I think that it would get old fast. If you've got one version of an instrument versus, you know, 70 different versions of an instrument, I think, you know, sitting in front of an orchestra will, for me, has in the past taken my breath away in a way that, while epically skilled, a choir has never done. And I was in like the difficult ensemble in high school. So we would do the competitions and stuff, and you would see in
competition. A real problem. they're so difficult. None of them want to sing this song. Why did none of these groups do? Why do we even have this competition? They keep asking for water and then we bring it. They just throw it on the ground and say, that one wasn't right.
Yeah, that one wasn't fizzy. Fizzy is better. But yeah, I think that, I don't know, for me personally, I do think that like you were saying, like it does, like a good choir takes tremendous skill. Like Voices of Liberty in Orlando is some of the most spectacular voices you'll ever hear, and nothing is accompanying them. Then they put out an album with an orchestra and it was enhanced even. I don't know. I think there's more. I think you can do a hell of a lot more with an orchestra than you can with a choir.
Interesting. I think that's a good point, Mark. I think that's a well-made point. And thanks, I agree buddy. With you. When I think of the, like, the pieces of music, the only thing I can think of for a choir was like, well, every Christmas song. and then I think about, Duel of the Fates, which is from one of my least favorite Star Wars movies. I was like, oh, you remember Duel of the Fates? You don't remember it? The,
no.
Blah, 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 blah. But then the music kicks in, the orchestra, that, and that's
Phantom
like really
Menace,
the good part.
Mark.
Yeah, it's from The Phantom Menace.
Oh, okay. No, I don't remember that. I tried to block that movie.
Yeah, good idea. It's orchestra. Asked and answered.
Before you guys advise, let me just say real quick that there were a ton of topics that came in. We're cataloging them. We'll keep track of them. They may show up in the future. There's quite a few that are great topics for full-blown episodes.
Great.
So if your topic didn't get asked, don't worry about it. It's still on record, and it may show up in the future, and thank you for participating. So now, over to Hal and Mark.
And will likely show up in the future. Because
yes.
We are not going to stop until we get through every topic on our list.
That's right. And then we will turn into beings of pure light and be transported to the next realm, which is really exciting.
And then Tilda Swinton is going to push us out of our chests.
All I've ever wanted in my life
was for Tilda Swinton to push you out of your chest.
Yeah, push me out of my chest, Tilda. I'm ready. I'm waiting for you.
Oh my god,
this was fun. This was fun to do.
Yeah, this was fun. It's nice to see you guys.
Maybe we'll do it again.
Okay.
All right.
Right now, okay. Let's do it.
Well, no, we just did it. We don't have to do it again right now.
Oh, okay. We'll do it later.
All right. We'll do it another time. But thank you for joining us.
That's right. And please, if you have more topics, reach out to us on Twitter at WeGotThisTweets. Check out the Maximum Fun subreddit, or
you can email us at WeGotThisPodcast@gmail.com, from which we are streaming this very show that you are watching right now. And you can also join the Facebook group, one of my favorite places on the internet. Super positive, super fun. And especially during a time like this where things are so crazy and we're all in our homes. People have been connecting there, talking about how the show has changed their lives. And even though it's funny, it means a lot to me and to Mark if he ever read it.
I've read it, and Hal hips me to it. And
that's right. That's at facebook.com. Oh, no, go ahead.
No. That's all I was just going to say. I love the people of the world, and thank you for being you.
Yes, you're amazing. Oh, Jennifer's really going to the kitchen now. She's getting cookware. Gets facebook.com/groups/ We Got This Podcast. Thank you to producer Ken Plume, who you are now seeing in that. It's like the nerd version of the Sanford and Sunset behind you.
Thank you guys. Just for being you two. Thank you.
I
want to thank the IT folks that don't show up at Mark's place now.
Yeah, that's right. Spectrum, please go to Mark's apartment.
For God's sake, he needs Spectrum. It.
Thank you also to researcher Kate McManus, graphic designer Uri Kelman, and QA engineer Jen Alba.
And thanks, of course, to our musicians, Jonathan Dinerstein and Mike Furman, for our score and theme song, respectively. And thanks to you, the people of the world, for giving us hope and cheer and keeping us happy. And I hope that we bring a little happiness to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The last SpaghettiOs can. I thought I hid it at the back of the
belt.
No, I hid it at the back of the cabinet because I was like, I would really like some SpaghettiOs. And then I saw her rooting. How did you find it, Jennifer?
For Hal Loveland, I'm Mark Gagliardi.
It looks like we're talking to each other now, Hal.
For Mark Gagliardi, I'm Hal Loveland. And don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
Yeah, I don't know what I was going to eat those things. Enjoy. All right. Goodbye, everybody. I'm ending this live stream right now.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.